Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Think you know Andy Reid and the Chiefs offense?
You bet your sweet ass.
Stay in your lane. It's the Offensive Outlook with Arrowhead Pride's Matt Lane.
Get to Matt Lane in just a second, but I got to hit this from the 913. I'm out of KCMO Postal District, and we're delivering tomorrow. That's what I'm talking about, putting your big boy pants on, KCMO, from the 785. We're delivering mail tomorrow. Might mention that the news is wrong. That's right. It's fake news.
Quit intriguing people to go work in deathly conditions.
And I hate when Dusty and I are sucked into fake news, like his fake weather radar. I work for U.S. or the United States Postal Service in Topeka. They're delivering. Mention it. There's all these fake news that I got these people texting me saying they're delivering. Our pets' heads are falling off. It's an Arctic blast. That's why I'm talking to a weatherman in 30 minutes. We'll talk to Gary Amble.
Hell of a tease.
We'll separate news from fake news. Right now, I don't know what to believe, Dusty, because when I work with you, everything turns fake.
Well, hopefully Matt Lane's still on the phone.
Matt Lane, Arrowhead Pride, at Chief in Carolina. Sorry for that breakdown there, Matt. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I just enjoy getting to hear you work live and all that stuff, so that's a good time.
Well, see, it's cold as hell here. They said if you're outside, you don't want to breathe too heavily, you could die. I mean, we got all these warnings. We have mail being canceled, not canceled, because I got a lot of mailmen that listen to the show let me know they're working tomorrow, Matt. And I know you're sitting there in Carolina feeling good.
Yeah, I mean, I walked around in shorts and just a nice light hoodie today.
So oh, you bastard. You bastard. All right. We got news today. We got breaking news. 610sports.com, arrowheadpride.com, you name it. Chiefs linebacker coaches gone. Now, this isn't that these guys went and took another job. They were probably told that their services will no longer be needed by the Kansas City Chiefs. But over the weekend, and I talked to you Sunday, Mike Smith, the outside linebacker coach, he's in Green Bay, similar role. Well, today they lost the inside linebacker coach, Mark DeLeon, to the Chicago Bears. Good for the Chiefs that Spags is getting rid of some of the dirt.
Yeah, and I don't want to come down. I think anybody that listened on Sunday or has ever talked kind of to anybody that covers the Chiefs, everybody loves Mike Smith. So nobody really wanted to lose Mike Smith. I don't think you've heard quite as much praise even from within the organization for DeLeon, but we were excited for him. Like, out at training camp, he seemed to have a good command over the group. So it's never fun to lose somebody, but at the same time, when you have a turnover at the top, it's going to be kind of hard to bring in a new guy and bring in his system, doing it his way, if you keep all the same coaches. So this had to be expected. I don't know if anybody's particularly safe, so I'm kind of glad that he's getting to put in. It seems like he's getting the power to put in at least some of his own coaches, so I think that's a big deal for a defensive coordinator to get their guys around.
Well, I think so, too. And also, it shows me that Andy Reid kind of turned it over to him, because I could see Andy Reid having some pull, saying, hey, you're not getting rid of this guy, you're not getting rid of that guy, because he's incredibly loyal. We haven't seen a shakeup, really, in Chiefs coaching staff. That's why I think this is so interesting, because you just haven't seen it. You've seen everybody being promoted from within, you know, from Peterson to Nagy and getting promoted, and Kafka. It'll be the offensive coordinator here as soon as Eric Bieniemy takes another job eventually, but nobody leaves. Dave Tobe, none of these guys leave. Smith was here for 3 years. DeLeon was here for 5 years with Andy Reid. Guys just don't leave. So I think it's incredibly interesting that the Chiefs actually have guys leaving.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we've been. Since Andy Reid's been here, it's been kind of, even if it's not guys that are coming up within the organization, it's still guys from that same tree. You were still getting guys that worked under Bob Sutton or somebody else that Bob Sutton worked with or under him. So you kind of had the same tree of guys that kept getting promoted up, even if they weren't all from within the Chiefs organization. So now we don't know who's going to replace these guys yet, but I imagine just with this kind of turnover, this at this point in time, you're going to get some outside names that are going to be coming up. I don't know who yet. We haven't really heard anything about it. And these moves wouldn't be announced if they didn't have somebody either agreed to terms or somebody in mind. So I'm just excited to see who it's going to be. Bring in some outside guys. I think people have talked about it around the Eagles organization last year. they just had all these different offensive minds coming from different coaching trees. And when you put all these guys in the same room, you get different ideas just coming from all these different philosophies. And that's just so much better than a bunch of guys that see the game the same way, but they're from the same tree. So you like the continuity there, but at the same time, you don't always see everything and you don't get all this new stuff that everybody's coming from the same line of thinking or baseline level of thought process.
I'm with you. And the thing about it is, and I was shocked about this, not shocked because I knew what was going on, but when Gibbs was coaching linebackers, he was coaching inside and outside, Matt, and then just two different disciplines. You know the amount of high schools around the area, because I do a lot of high school football stuff, they have inside and outside linebacker coaches, and the Chiefs didn't, which really surprised me, because if Derek Johnson was in a meeting room as Justin Houston or Tom Bali, completely different positions, but they had just one coach, and they finally went to two coaches with the 3-4.
Yeah, and I mean, hearing the whole thing unfold kind of blew my mind. I knew that they didn't have a specific two out linebacker coaches, but I assume just kind of the way some high school teams or even just my college team and stuff worked, you kind of had, if you had pass rushers like a 3-4 outside linebacker, they would spend more time kind of working with the D-line than they would the other off-ball linebackers. It's just a closer position. I just kind of assumed that's how the Chiefs are running it. And then you started getting word out once Gibbs was gone that these guys were almost sitting around just waiting for the other group to be done. And you just kind of have to wonder, like, how does that do for a young guy's progression and development if he's only getting essentially half the time of coaching in the classroom? You assume that time on the field split up a little bit. So it's nice that they've made that split. Now, again, the assumption is we're going back to a 4-3, so that kind of eliminates the need to split both of those. But you're still going to need somebody to help coach with the pass rushers and off-ball guys. So I'm just interested to see where they go from here.
Yeah, I wish Spags would have a press conference, because the 4-3 under is very reminiscent of the 3-4. And typically a 4-3, your pass rush is derived from the outside, from the defensive end. So a guy like Chris Jones playing 5 techniques, something like that, you know, you get your pass rush from there, and your linebackers are more in a run-stopping deal because it's a one-gap responsibility instead of the two-gap responsibility that they had now. So it'll be interesting what they do getting coaches in here. I'm really curious to see what this defense could be in the 4-3, and I'm anxiously waiting to see it. But you went to the Senior Bowl. You'll be watching the Combine. One of your things you do from Arrowhead Pride is you guys got a lot of stuff planned for the NFL draft. I can't wait to dive into some of the stuff that you guys are doing. But I told you cornerbacks, because I think cornerbacks will be picked by the Chiefs within the first – I'm saying within the first two picks. Now, they have 3 picks in the first 2 rounds. I'm saying they go corner first or second pick. Agreed?
I think by the end of the second round, you'll get one. So, I mean, I would like to agree that most likely it'll be those first 2 picks, but I'm going to give myself that leeway to say by the end of the second round. So by that 3rd pick, which in reality is, what, 2 to 3 picks later than our second round pick with the Rams, it's going to be a cornerback. I would kind of hope, leaning towards it being their first pick. The only issue is the cornerback class isn't the best that it's been in the couple of recent years. So you might be better off kind of holding off until the second round, just that way you're not reaching for some better talent kind of in the front 7, I think, you're seeing in this draft.
Well, Greedy Williams is the best corner. He'll be off the table by the time the Chiefs make the pick at 29. DeAndre Baker could be there, probably not. The Chiefs, honestly, because Greedy Williams and Baker might be gone. Byron Murphy, the cornerback out of Washington, a little bit under 6 foot. He's 5'11", 182. Bob Sutton always liked his corners a little bit taller, although they weren't always that way. But, you know, Greedy Williams sitting here at 6'3". I mean, that's ideal size, you know, for a corner. It's pretty big for a corner, to be honest with you. But a guy like Byron Murphy out of Washington, your thoughts on him? Because he could very well be there at pick 29.
To actually pull back the curtain a little bit, and I'm sure one of these days if you talk to Craig about it, he'll give you a little bit more, because I know he's watched a lot of Byron Murphy too. But I think just all of us over at Arrowhead Pride and our little nerd squad, our draft community thing, we like Byron Murphy actually more than Greedy Williams. It's pretty close.
Are you serious?
I believe, yeah, Byron Murphy's kind of all of our cornerback number one. I think that we just kind of like his foot speed and the ability to mirror and match a receiver. I think the NFL's just turned away a little bit from those big, long corners that can just beat people up off the line. Not that that's all that Greedy is, but I agree. He's fantastic. I just really like Byron's ability to stick right in a guy's hip pocket, no matter if he's going vertical, breaking horizontal, and his ball skills have been phenomenal. I am a little worried about that size, especially because I don't think he's going to run super fast. I don't think he's going to be a sub 4.4 kind of guy at the combine, but that's almost good for the Chiefs to kind of help push him down the draft board a little bit. But yeah, he's our number one guy. So if he's there at 29 or even 25, I'm more than willing to trade up a couple spots to get Byron Murphy, because he reminds me a little bit of Jaire Alexander last year, and that was kind of my guy. He was my dude.
Sure.
I was disappointed when the Chiefs didn't be able to get a chance to get him, but his play style reminds me a lot of him, and the way he played for the Packers this year, I was not disappointed.
You a fan of Chris Boyd at Texas or Julian Love at Notre Dame?
Julian Love, I'm a bigger fan of. Chris Boyd, I watched him a lot over the summer, and he had some really good tape. So he had some games where he looked almost like a first-rounder, and other games that you just weren't sure what he was doing. And I think that continued this year. And down at the Senior Bowl, he had a rough week. I think he probably hurt his draft stock down there as much as anybody, and you don't want to overreact much, but he was super handsy. He drew many a penalties during practice. Everybody saw him get those three quick flags in the first, like, two drives of the actual Senior Bowl game, and he was just getting beat. Even if he got his hands on guys in the line of scrimmage, he just didn't have the hips or the feet to keep up with them. And he was getting coaching almost after every rep and just seemed to have a hard time translating that onto the field. So I think nobody hurt their stock more than Chris Boyd kind of during that whole process.
How much have you paid attention now and shifted your gears to 4-3 linebackers? Because Hitchens, to me, right now is the only fit at inside linebacker. I think he's going to flourish that position. Dorian O'Daniel, somebody I could see them putting on the outside, you know, to have that kind of rangy speed, be an outside 4-3 linebacker. But I am curious what they're going to do with the rest of their personnel. Who's the odd man out with what we have now? Reggie Ragland, where's he go?
Awesome. That's the bad one. Reggie Ragland, as much as I love him as a player and as a person, everything I've heard about him, I don't see a great fit for him. He's a pretty good blitzer, but I don't think he's kind of a guy you want pass rushing purely off the edge. He just doesn't have that kind of frame. He doesn't move like a pass rusher. He's a linear blitzer where he's kind of cutting in through one gap. So I don't see a fit for him, even at the strong side. So I'm with you. I think they're going to give Hitchens a chance in the middle. I went back and watched some film just kind of for fun of Dallas last year. When Sean Lee was healthy, Anthony Hitchens played quite a bit of Mike for them too, and they're 4-3.
Yeah.
They actually put Jalen Smith on the strong side. Lee was weak side, and they had Hitchens right there in the middle. I think you're going to see him get that chance. They relate it back to kind of that first giant Super Bowl winning roster. He's similar to Antonio Pierce, and that the first thing you're going to say about him is probably he's a smart football player. You're not going to talk about the athleticism. He's just a physical, smart guy. So you kind of see the correlation there between those two. And then O'Daniel's the weak side. That's kind of a perfect fit. I think it's a great fit for him. That's going to allow him to – he's that guy that has the sideline-to-sideline speed, gets a little bit more coverage responsibility. So it fits him good. I think it's going to help keep him on the field more often and allow him just to kind of pin his ears back and chase rather than constantly have to be filling those interior gaps, which just isn't his best game.
Would you stick with defense or would you be tempted to do offense in any of these positions? I'm one of these guys that likes the fact that Brett Veach can draft two straight years on defense. But I have others that say, well, you can't pass on good offensive skill positions. You know, like the tight end positions, extremely strong, especially out of Iowa. Noah Fant, T.J. Hockenson out of Iowa, Irv Smith Jr. From Alabama. Would there any offensive skill positions you'd pass on, or would you say, no, Veach has got to make those first three picks all about defense?
Oh, no, you're speaking my language right now. I'm definitely part of the hashtag score 100 movement, which just means
Okay. It's
offense to the point where they're scoring 100 points. That's our thing. I'm fully okay with spending one of those first three picks, and I kind of hope they spend one of these first three picks on the offensive side of the ball. Like you said, Iowa tight end, Hockenson and Fant, like them both. I think both will go in the first round, but someone like Irv Smith out of Alabama is a guy who could be hanging around there in the second round, be a great pick. There's a few receivers, you know, Harmon out of North Carolina State, Debo Samuel out of South Carolina that we got to see down at the Senior Bowl was absolutely killing it.
Yeah, Caden Smith
out of Georgia. I got all sorts of guys, but that's kind of where I'm cutting my list off. I get these three guys of each position that I just think have the ability to really become good starters in the NFL and to eventually replace guys on the Chiefs roster. That's what I'm looking for as far as if I'm drafting an offensive player. They got to have an immediate impact but have a bright future going forward. So I'm not looking for, you know, just a slot receiver or just the second tight end. It's got to be somebody that has the upside to be more than that.
Well, we'll take a look at the defensive line next time we talk, Matt, as we talk to cornerbacks. tonight for the Kansas City Chiefs. Also, I might mix in some safety talk as well. But Matt Lane, at Chief in Carolina on Twitter, part of the team there, arrowheadpride.com, that Craig Stout, Kent Swanson, the fellas all join me. Of course, Pete Sweeney's all over 610 Sports Radio. But Matt, thanks for joining us tonight. We'll talk again soon, my friend. I could actually spend the whole 3 hours talking about this with you, but I can't.
No, thank you for having me on, JB. And, yes, we're gearing up for a lot of draft coverage, so we'll be keeping everybody in the loop what our plans are coming soon. But we got a lot of draft coverage coming for everybody, so anybody interested, make sure you're following the Arrowhead Pride because we got all sorts of stuff coming up here pretty soon.
And I will be all over that. Thanks a lot, Matt. Really appreciate that. Don't forget we have Gary Amble, my friend, KCTV5's weatherman, talking about the Arctic Blast, giving you tips for your house. I know it's not sports-related, but sports fans get cold, too, and they're saying, Dusty, we can't go breathing outside. I got to know, man. Are we dying or what? Are we dying or what? Coming up next, Smack Talk continues at the Super Bowl, and I love it. The best of media day next.
Being at night.
That's right. We thank you for listening to 610 Sports Radio, the football show. We're going to be covering the Combine. This show is going to be talking a lot about it. We covered cornerbacks. Tonight we're doing every single night. We're talking NFL draft and looking forward because I love the NFL draft. I love college football, which is funny because it's like it comes together like peanut butter and chocolate. You've got college football mixing with the National Football League. Lee Corso, I think Kirk Herbstreit, they're going to be part of the broadcast this year. Smart. You bring the college guys in to talk with the NFL. My question for you, Dusty, is we
how
can't...
old is Lee Corso?
That doesn't matter. I can't figure out is we can't figure out if the post office is delivering tomorrow or not because we've heard maybe real news or fake news, and we're not exactly 100% sure.
Yep.
But the one thing I don't know is will they deliver pizzas tomorrow? Will pizzas be delivered tomorrow? Because yeah. If the post office isn't delivering your mail, do you think Pizza Hut or Papa John's is coming to your house?
Yeah. I think you should tip them more, though. Good God. How old do you think Lee Corso is?
75.
83.
Was off by 8 years.
He's born on the same day I'm born, August 7th, but he was born in 1935.
Happy birthday.
It's not our birthday, though. You don't.
Happy birthday. This way I got it over with. That way when it's August 7th, you say, hey, Jay wished me happy birthday back in January. It was very nice. This way I don't forget it. Happy birthday to you.
Are you the same kind of guy that when someone says, seriously, man, don't give me anything. I don't want anything this year.
I really don't get you anything.
Yeah.
I'm that guy.
Fair enough.
I'm that guy. You say you don't want anything, you don't want anything.
August 7th, 1935. Lee Corso, 83 years old.
God, he looks young, doesn't he?
Not really. But he does kind of look like Mr. Duncan from Mr. Duncan's Toy Chest in Home Alone 2.
He makes that show, man. Putting that mascot head on. I mean, that's just, I look forward to that every week. End of the show, you don't know which direction he's doing. You know, Boomer Sooner, he puts that wagon on his head.
Our buddy Lance says he's working Pizza Hut, and they're going to deliver tomorrow.
That way, Lance.
Would appreciate the tip.
Put your big boy pants on there. Yeah, well, you got to tip your delivery.
Yeah, man, like, especially like when it snows outside. People forget, like, yeah, there's a delivery charge, but like you kind of got to feel like you got to go a little extra because, I mean, you're not going out in it.
You're not going out in it.
Shout out, Lance.
Well, one thing has been going on between the Super Bowl is the Patriots are acting much different than they've ever acted. The Patriots have been the most buttoned up. They will not give you bulletin board material, won't talk smack, but something's changed. And I've noticed it with Tom Brady. You know, after beating the Chiefs, you know, smirking and smiling as he and Gronk were walking to the buses. You know, he's acting like the GOAT now. And he hasn't always acted like that. He's always been driven to do it again. Belichick's always had a rule where he won't even let his players even praise other players on his team, and he gets pissed. This was Tom Brady. Let's reset what happened. Tom Brady, this was at their send-off. They're obviously at the Super Bowl now because media day was last night. But here's Tom Brady in a corny way trying to get 35,000 fans, they said, that showed up to Gillette, fired up.
Let's let them hear it all the way down in Atlanta. We're still here! We're still here! We're still here! We're still here! We're still here!
It sounded like Tom was just talking to himself. Then there's Patrick Chung, who spouted out with this.
I appreciate the support. We're going to go out here and kick their ass, baby.
So he says that. And then there was Brandon Cooks, former Patriot, now with the Rams, clapping back.
Hey, hold on. Hey, Chung, we heard you talking that talk, back there in Foxborough. You know, 700 hunters, let's get straight to it.
And then the mic dropped. They like to throw the mic. Like Johnny Gomes at the Royals World Series Parade. Well, Brandon Cooks at the Super Bowl Media Day was asked why he responded to Patrick Chung like that.
Patrick Chung, your former teammate, he said, "We're going to kick their ass, baby." And you responded, "Hey, Chung, we heard you talking back there in Foxborough. You don't talk a lot of trash. Why did you have to respond to this?"
You know, I think it's just one of those things, just, you know, knowing that I got my guys back and knowing that we hear them. But at the end of the day, you know, it's the game. It's the game of football, and there's going to be stuff talking back and forth. I try to do it in a humble fashion.
So it's beep, beep, beep. Woof. The smack is being brought back. Then there's Nickel Robbie Coleman. He was the corner for the Rams that had that infamous play down in New Orleans where it was pass interference, where he had called Tom Brady old. He did this article with ESPN. He said that he still has it, but he doesn't have it like he used to have it. He explained his Tom Brady comment.
I was asked a question about when I was in Buffalo. They asked me about how Tom Brady is from then to now. Only thing I said was his age. I said nothing about that he's too old. I never said that he can't do anything. Only thing I said was his age is the only thing that changed from now to here. And I feel like his skills and his arm is still strong. He's still the GOAT. He's still the legend. That's what I want to get across.
All this smack dissipated. I don't know what happened between Sunday and Monday, but I was looking forward to this because the Rams and Patriots were talking junk. Then there's Julian Edelman with a fantastic beard. And I don't know if you've seen it, Dusty, but the ESPN keeps showing it. You know he once played against Sean McVay? Sean McVay played at Miami of Ohio. Because Edelman's about the same age as Sean McVay.
Yeah, I read this story last
week. And Edelman was the quarterback for Kent State. Home of one Gary Pinkel and Nick Saban. Julian Edelman had those T-shirts he was selling for $30. I wonder how that went for old Julian. They said, bet against us, right? The Patriots. Remember Tom Brady? We suck. That's what he said before they played the Chiefs. We suck. Nobody believes in us. Patriots are favored to win this game. Patriots have been to 9 Super Bowls. They've been to 3 Super Bowls in a row. Julian Edelman, how are you underdogs?
How do you guys play this underdog role when you're here every year?
I don't know if we're playing a role. I think we're just going out and playing. I mean, that's for everyone else to talk about.
It's like you're disrespected. They don't believe in us. You got Tom Brady, man. Come on.
Hey, Dion, you tell him that. Dion also commenting on the fantastic beard of Julian Edelman. I will give him that because it's an incredible beard.
I just can't see you with this beard. This beard is doing something to me. I'm sorry. I'm just all bad. It don't look right, man.
I actually shaved 2 days ago.
Stop.
It just grows back.
Will you shave if you win? Will you shave?
I got you.
You got me? All right. Appreciate you, man.
And then, of course, there was Gronk.
Rob, I got some questions.
Oh, hey.
How's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. I actually got some questions from a first grade class. I'd like to ask you one of them, if that's okay.
You teach first grade?
No, but I know people that do.
Oh, okay.
I know a lot of kids. So this is from Allison, and this is in Mrs. Thompson.
Hi, Allison.
In Mrs. Thompson's first grade class, she says, "Rob, you're my favorite football player in the world. Why do you think the number 69 is so funny all the time?"
It just is.
Yeah.
Okay. And you just got to play it off right. You got to play it off right. And if you don't, it's not funny. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
What class does she have? What class is she teaching?
No, she's a first grader.
All right. Well, there's some numbers out there. A little math problem. What's 6 times 9 plus 6 plus 9?
So, do you think a first grader really asked that question? Or is that just shenanigans from the media?
For sure. Like, it's just not funny to me.
Gronk was also asked if he's going to retire because everybody thinks he's going into wrestling next year or movies or acting, whatever.
Hollywood or the WWE, baby.
Hollywood or WWE.
Gronk, no easy way to ask. As soon as you do retire, you're going to get a gold jacket, a first ballot Hall of Fame, and I'll see you in that Nisky luncheon. But will you retire after Sunday's game?
Oh, I don't know.
You're not thinking about that right now?
No, I'm thinking all how to get myself to go full go in the game. Just working on that.
Gronk's thinking about having another seminar with ladies, teaching them football and serving Gronk teenies. I did not make that up. And he has the Gronk Pleasure Cruise as well.
I would go on that.
Huh?
I would go on that for sure.
See, would Kelsey have the personality of Gronk at the Super Bowl? Because you know he's got it. Would he be allowed to show it? That's the question.
No.
He wouldn't be allowed to show
it.
Not
at all. Not with his team.
Coming up next. Can you breathe outside tomorrow? We talked to KCTV5's Gary Amble. He'll let us know. Next.
Bink at night.
Well, we know it's cold and it's going to be real cold. Now, what we can't figure out is the post office is delivering or not? We were telling people they're not. Text line is telling us they are.
Some guy said he's going to climb poles tomorrow.
There's only one guy to talk to and one guy only. This is who I trust to give me weather. His name is Gary Amble, meteorologist, TV5. If I want to know what's going on with weather, I talk to Gary. When Gary wants to know what happens in sports, he does not listen to me. What's up, Gary?
Well, we're just kind of tracking that cold air, that's for sure. Hey, I heard you talking about they were going to be canceling the postal deliveries.
Yes.
I didn't think those guys canceled their deliveries for anything. Isn't that part of their whole motto?
I thought so. So is it true or is it real news or not? Because they keep that text line keeps telling me they're delivering mail.
Well, you know, I'm not 100% sure. I think we had something on our news at 4 p.m. about they were considering that move to not deliver mail tomorrow. But, you know, I just assumed that those little Jeeps were they had heaters inside.
Those guys and gals are tough, man. I mean, they are. Rain, sleet, snow, or shine. It didn't say anything about bad weather or cold weather. All right? I think they're still working, man.
Well, yeah, it is going to be pretty tough to be outside, but I couldn't discredit them no matter which way they go with that. But
well,
it is getting cold now. We have a wind chill below zero at this hour in Leavenworth, KCI officially, and Gladstone all recording right now, two below with the wind chill, and the rest of the city, well, they're about to follow suit.
Oh, Gary, you got such bad news, and here's the thing, Gary, is we know about the Postal Service. We know schools have all canceled. Will pizza still be delivered tomorrow?
My guess is yes.
Okay.
You know, the roads are in great shape.
Yes.
So my guess is yes. They will be delivering pizza tomorrow, which, you know, that's not a bad idea.
Well, I mean, it's a great idea to order yourself some pizza. All right, Gary, tell us the do's and don'ts from outside, because they're talking about not breathing the air when it's that cold. What suggestions would you make? What should people do for their houses to keep the pipes from blowing up?
You know, I grew up in Minnesota, and we had a couple of nights where it got down pretty cold. I think the coldest air that I've ever felt personally was 36 below zero. Mm. 76 was the wind chill. I helped a neighbor friend of mine deliver papers, the Sunday paper, that morning. His dad was tough as nails, wouldn't do anything to help his son out, but his dad actually drove him in his pickup truck and me around the around the route to deliver those papers that morning. I decided to, instead of just jump out of the truck and run and do one house, I did two. When I got back to the truck, my nose was numb. So it can get pretty cold. As far as freezing your lungs,
yeah,
it's 11 degrees in Kansas City. It's 2 above in Bethany right now, 5 above in Maryville. Right now, there's no threat for that to happen. You certainly wouldn't want to go running. And I think it's not as big a deal for people who just get out of their car and walk into work. When you talk about freezing lungs, what you're talking about then is people who may be exercising outside, maybe running a long distance, and you don't have anything covering your mouth. A scarf or a balaclava would work for that as well. You just want to kind of knock that down a little bit so you're not sucking in bitter cold air. Because if it goes straight into you and into your lungs, there's a potential that it could freeze up a little bit of that lung tissue, and you certainly don't want to do that. So, sometimes you go a little overboard with the precautions.
Yeah.
But again, and you'll feel it, too. If you're sucking in a lot of wind and cold air,
man,
you're going to feel it in your lungs. And trust me, you'll stop doing it right away.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be jogging out there tomorrow, Gary. That's not going to happen. All right, now here's the thing. We had this debate earlier. Heat, H-E-E-T, for your car, is it good or not? Because I've heard both things. I always put heat in my car. Should we do this from keeping the gas lines from freezing?
Well, here's the thing. The heat is basically, from what I understand anyway, and I'm not an expert because I'm not really an automotive guy, but from what I understand, heat is basically an alcohol, and the alcohol goes in and it basically grabs any moisture or water that's in your lines, because the gas isn't going to freeze up itself. The water, if there's any little water, or if there's any water vapor that gets into your gas line, that water will freeze. So from what I understand, the heat goes in there, The alcohol actually combines with the water so it doesn't freeze.
Maybe I'll put a Bud Light in it. Now, how do you keep your pipes from freezing?
Actually, there's more water in the Bud Light than there is alcohol. Quite a bit more, by the way.
So what do you do? Because I've always heard to, like, open your cabinets up underneath your sink, let that, you know, that warm air from your house trickle in. Also, trickling the faucets. Any other suggestions you could have for people to, you know, protect themselves from pipes freezing?
Yeah, probably the main thing is don't leave a space heater unattended.
That's a good idea.
You know, there are people that may get under the house and say, you know what, there's my pipes under the house. I'm going to go ahead and put a space heater down there. You can go down there with a space heater so long as you're under there with it watching it, but don't leave it unattended. That's a very dangerous thing to do. Let's see, what else could there possibly be for cold weather? You know, that's about it. Just make sure that you have a jacket in your car. I mean, that sounds kind of silly.
Yeah.
I've done that before, especially when I was a kid and I was kind of stupid. But just look at your car and go, listen, if something happens, if the motor shuts off, the car's going to be cold in about 5 or 10 minutes. And if I was stuck in a situation where I needed to be outside for 30 minutes, do I have enough clothing in the car to keep me comfortable? And that's basically all you need to keep in mind.
Gary, Dusty Likens here from the show as well. Is there a possible, like, is there, like, a serious threat that someone could get frostbite tomorrow? Like, I've heard if you're out there for, like, more than 10 minutes, like, is this something that, like, seriously is, like frostbite's a real thing? I feel like that's it's really a buzzword.
Yeah, it's been a big buzzword over the past couple of days because that's basically in every statement put out by the National Weather Service. It is a possibility if you go out and have exposed skin in Kansas City and the metro, it's probably not going to be 10 minutes. I'd say 10 minutes up toward the Iowa state line where the wind chills will be around 35 below. And that's only if you're outside at daybreak or right at the coldest part of the day. In Kansas City, you've probably got more like 20 or 30 minutes before frostbite can set in. And trust me, you're going to feel it before it actually happens. So here's what you feel initially. The first, and I put one of these on the news tonight. First thing you feel is what's called frost nip. And that's where your skin feels really cold and it turns red. Now, the next stage is called, is the first level of frostbite. And that's where your skin starts to turn back to a pale white.
So we've gone from pink to white?
It goes from pink to white,
okay.
And it actually starts to feel warm. So you think your skin is warming up, but it's actually not. It's in the process of that outer layer beginning to freeze up. And then the stage you don't want to get to is stage 3, and that's where your skin actually freezes. And when that happens, it kills the tissue, and it doesn't happen right away, but over time it'll turn black.
That's the scariest damn thing I've ever heard.
Well, it is. And if you've ever seen pictures of mountain climbers on Mount Everest that have come back with serious frostbite, it's not pretty.
Well, we were talking to Gary Amble, KCTV5, my weather guy, my choice for weather. Any snow tomorrow? We get any snow? I've heard there might be a snow band coming through and all this. We get any snow?
Yeah, European model has a little band coming in about 6 p.m., but about the time it starts, it stops.
No.
So if we see anything, it'll be a fine little dust over. It doesn't look like anything more than that. Oh, by the way, tomorrow's high temperature at 5 degrees above zero. That would be the coldest daytime high ever for a January 30th day in Kansas City.
Wow. How about that, Gary?
How about Saturday and Sunday's highs? Where are those, Gary, to lighten up this interview?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to love this.
All right.
Saturday, I have 54 Saturday, 58 Sunday.
That's what we're talking about, Gary.
Motorcycle weather right
there,
Gary.
That's what we need, Gary. That's how you get from frost snip to pink skin to red skin to just going outside on Sunday.
Well, hey, if I'd have known I would have brought applause with that, I would have skipped over the frosty stuff and went right to the week forecast.
Well, we got to throw you a curveball here, Gary.
Gary Amble, KCTV5. You've just been a ray of sunshine, Gary, but you're giving us – what'd you say? It's already -2 wind chill at the airport?
Right now, it's – yeah, 2 below 0. The actual temperature is 11.
I love it.
Oh,
it's going to get colder, much, much colder all night. In fact, Bethany is at 1 above 0. Maryville at 3 above. Wind chills there. Let me check the wind chills.
Yeah, let's check the wind chills.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there's a 10-mile-an-hour wind blowing in.
Oh.
Yeah, it looks like we're anywhere from about 5 below to almost 10 below across northern Missouri right now.
Yeah, so Gary's got all the equipment right now. He's got, you know. He's checking it all out.
So what you're saying is the next 4 days total combined is going to be the total temperature on Sunday.
You know what? I should do the math on that, but I think you're right. Yeah. When you add up the highs and lows, yeah, the weekend high is going to be much, much warmer than all of the days preceding that combined.
Boy, that's awesome.
Gary, I always hear these different models, and I always hear European model, and which one should I trust?
You know what? It varies with every event that comes in.
All right.
So what we do is we look at various events. We try to see which model handled it best the last time we had something similar, and we'll lean in that direction.
Okay.
Also, you have to kind of stay on top of things because what they'll do is they'll tweak the mathematics within the models, and they do that about every several months. So you have to kind of stay on top of that and know which way they're tweaking it. So essentially what we're doing as meteorologists, we're trying to apply not necessarily what the model is saying, but the bias that may be built into that model.
Gary, put your equipment to work. Will the Chiefs be in the Super Bowl next year?
Hey, I'm all set for it. I thought we had a serious chance of going this year.
Yeah.
Next year, though, if we can get the defense maybe just a tiny bit better, there's no stopping this team. This team's awesome.
Gary Amble, KCTV5. Follow him on Twitter, at Gary Amble, KCTV5. That's pretty easy to remember. Gary, always enjoy the weather forecast. Thank you for helping out the people.
Hey, thank you for what you guys do. And like you were saying before, go Chiefs next year.
All right, Gary, we'll talk to you soon. There's Gary Amble, KCTV5. That's my go-to weather guy right there. He'll admit when he's wrong, which, you know, I don't a lot. And maybe I should because, I mean, he missed the snowstorm and then they called for one. They didn't have it. It was a couple of years ago. And we were supposed to have a bunch of snow, and we didn't. And then there was like a blizzard on Sunday. They didn't call for that. But Gary said, hey, man, we mess up. But you know they have these models, and then they have the European model, Dusty, and they're always different. And that's why I asked Gary, which one should I go by? Should I go by the European model or the other model? I just know you don't need frostbite tomorrow, and I don't need it either. Pink, the white, the black. That's bad.
Yeah,
it's scary.
Frost nip. I don't need any of that.
A local quarterback could end up in the division. Explain next.
Big at Night.
Say it ain't so, Drew. Drew Lock was fun to watch at Lee Summit, Simone Trophy winner. Drew Lock's been fun to watch at Mizzou. Talked to his dad today, trying to get Drew in studio. His dad told me he's in California working out with Jordan Palmer. He's a quarterback guru. He's talking, he's out in Cali working out. Good Senior Bowl. For the New York Post, John Elway may think he's found the next John Elway. Oh, no, John. Denver Post reported that Elway, now the Broncos president, GM, walked away from the Senior Bowl impressed with Missouri star quarterback Drew Lock. The worst-kept secret of the Senior Bowl, John Elway is smitten with Lock. Denver Post reporter Mark Kisla wrote, the Broncos pick at number 10 in the draft, and Lock is projected to be one of the top quarterbacks taken. He could be taken a few spots ahead by the Jags, so they would have to probably move that. But Dwayne Haskins and Daniel Jones from Duke, also quarterbacks, the people are looking at. Giants pick at 6. The Jaguars pick at 7th. Both those teams in need of a quarterback. Would Elway probably have to move up to get Drew Lock. Quote, connecting the dots would suggest Elway and company are trying to fall in love with Lock. Denver Post reported, Elway was at the Arkansas-Missouri game in November. Elway was at the Senior Bowl practices for 3 days and barely left the quarterback group. I believe the Broncos are targeting multiple quarterbacks as they should, and Lock is probably one, as he should be. Now, I don't know if he has any Chiefs tats like Shane Ray did. That drove him nuts. That drove him nuts that Shane Ray had a Kansas City tattoo on. Drove him nuts. Drove him nuts. Benjamin Albright does a lot of NFL coverage out in Denver. Great. He was on with CDOT. CDOT has a video up on YouTube where he talked to Benjamin Albright, and he talked about the Drew Lock rumors in Denver with Benjamin.
Elway barely left the quarterbacks group the entire time down there in Mobile, and the enamor with Drew Lock continues. He was bright in the press conferences, engaging, had the room kind of captivated kind of thing. And, that's something that the Broncos have wanted, a quarterback who not only plays well, but also engages the fan base well. Drew seems to fit that role.
Oh, yeah, he does. Wouldn't that suck? And keep in mind, he got advised he'd be a second or third rounder last year. I don't think that's the case. I think he would have gone to the Senior Bowl and impressed people to size, his arm strength, his mobility, and he would have ended up in the first round. I mean, Baker, he wasn't going to be higher than Baker Mayfield, these guys, but I think he gets picked before Lamar Jackson. He could have made a run at Allen as well, Josh Allen, but not. But John Elway loves Drew Locke, according to Benjamin Albright.
You know, he's got the tools, and that's kind of always been Elway's thing is, you know, draft the guys with the tools, and I'll get my coaches to coach him up to varying degrees of success or lack of success during his tenure as general manager. So, you know, I think Locke fits the mold. He's a little shorter than Elway usually likes, a little smaller hands than Elway usually likes, but the tools are there.
He's got the tools. Here's the thing with Elway. If you watched that Monday Night Football game that came on right before Christmas and they were playing the Raiders, they kept panning to John Elway. I think he was eating cashews or something because he was always reaching for a bag of nuts as he's watching that game. And as soon as Keenan would throw some in the dirt or Vance would have a terrible call, they'd show Elway. They're worried and they know that, guess what? The Chiefs have a quarterback and they don't. Elway has a certain type of quarterback in mind that he likes.
Oh, absolutely. John Elway has a very particular type of quarterback, and it's John Elway. You know, he looks at guys that remind him of himself. You know, I have athleticism and a big arm, and, you know, and maybe he needed some refinement earlier in their careers, similar to the way John did. You can look and tell which quarterbacks the Broncos had drafted in recent years were John Elway selections and which were Gary Kubiak selections. You know, John Elway liked the big guy, big arm, and, you know, the aforementioned quarterbacks that you were talking about, plus Zach Dysart, were his guys, whereas the guys like Trevor Siemian and bringing in Case Keenum as a free agent were Gary Kubiak guys. So you can tell these guys tend to draft or bring in guys that remind them of themselves because that's what works for them.
God, who was it? Somebody from NFL Network wrote an article before the season started comparing him to Patrick Mahomes as far as the skill set's concerned. Now, he's a big kid. He's 6'4", 225 pounds. Benjamin Albright talks about that arms race going on in the AFC.
Since they're tied into Case Keenum for one more season, the Broncos feel like this is a perfect opportunity to jump in there and get their guy if he exists and, you know, and try to move forward. So, you know, I think it's just kind of an aligning of the stars more than copying everything, although there is a tacit recognition that, you know, there is an arms race all of a sudden, pun not intended, in the AFC West with the Mahomes emergence this season.
Yeah, that's the thing. And you'll see teams like golf courses used to tiger-proof the golf courses. You're going to see more defensive backs taken, pass rushers to combat what is Patrick Mahomes. But Benjamin doesn't think that Locke would slip past the Broncos at 10.
I'll say this. He won't get past 10. If he's there at 10, the Broncos will take him. He won't get past that. Now, whether they would have to move up or whether another team may move up to try to get him, it's still a little early in the process to kind of tell. You know, there's several different players, you know, in place right behind the Broncos as well as potentially in front of them. You look at the Giants, although they're probably keyed in on Haskins, and then the Jacksonville Jaguars, although they're probably going to go Nick Foles in free agency. So, you know, there's some things that need to shake out and play out here over the course of the next, you know, kind of 30 days or so before we really know where these guys are going to kind of fall to.
Yeah, that's the question. Nick Foles is going to be out there, but what's the faith like in Elway from Benjamin Albright?
You know, we talked about Vic Fangio being the last hire John Elway was going to make for a head coach one way or the other. You know, whether it works out and he rides off into the sunset or it doesn't work out, he's released. I think this could be the last quarterback he drafts as well. I mean, how many general managers you know get to hire five head coaches and, you know, and draft six or seven quarterbacks? So I think this is going to be it for him one way or the other.
And Elway made, well, he was a good recruiter. He got Peyton Manning. And he looked like a genius. Everybody would have looked like a genius getting Peyton Manning. The Chiefs would have looked like a genius getting Peyton Manning. I remember Clark Hunt went on, I think, CNBC's business channel talking about when Manning was a free agent. They were interested in Peyton Manning. Everybody was interested in him. But Manning went to Elway and said, I need a defense. They went out and got Aqib Talib, DeMarcus Ware, T.J. Ward. They got him a defense, and that's what got him a ring. Again, I think Mahomes has that cachet. He's like the only Chief that could go to Andy Reid and say, hey, listen, we got to get better on defense. Like, Patrick Mahomes could fire Bob Sutton if he wanted to. And who knows if he did or not. But that is one guy that they're going to listen to. There's no other player could go to Andy Reid, look him in the eye, and kind of say the way things are. Patrick Mahomes can't. Because Patrick Mahomes is a once-in-a-generational talent. Probably going to be the MVP of the league. Going to get that award Saturday night. But, yeah. They're all worried. And this guy I know, Andy Lindahl, does a radio show in Denver with a Broncos-owned radio station. Orange and Blue, 690, something like that. Does it with Tyler Plumbus, former lineman. And he said their callers are worried about the Chiefs because they've never had to worry about the quarterback position before with the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, yeah, Alex Smith was good and all that, but they weren't overly concerned. They didn't have any concern, or there wasn't that fear that we have to face this guy twice a year. Well, there's fear that they have to face Patrick Mahomes twice a year. CDOT is going to be chiming in on a take that he had in the next hour. But coming up next, Deshaun Watson wants he and Mahomes to be the next Brady and Manning. Is he on to something? We'll find out next.
Big at night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.